Good morning, Greater All. I would wish you all a Merry Christmas, but I was told this morning by a young child, when I wished her a Merry Christmas, she informed me it is not Christmas yet. Now that was one of Tim's many granddaughters. I'd tell you the youngest, but she's not the youngest. Anyway, I want to welcome y'all out, and I do want to wish y'all a Merry Christmas. And it's great to see all the kids in here with us and the families together. I guess I need to be rather quick about this because of all the kids in here. Is that correct? Yes? Okay. My wife and I pick up children to bring to church whose parents don't come. And I was asked three times on the way here, how long does church last today? And I told him it was about an hour, a little over an hour. So if y'all want to start your timers right now, I'll be done in an hour. No. I'm going to work very hard to be done before that. But we've been talking about the Christmas list. And specifically for the last 2 weeks, Tim has looked at what some consider one of the most boring sections of the Bible. Okay, and that is the genealogies. You know, somebody was the father of somebody who was the father of somebody who was the father of somebody, or somebody was the son of somebody, and it goes on and on endlessly, and most of the names you don't recognize. You've got to really be a Bible scholar to dig down on some of them. Some of those names you don't find anywhere else, and it's like, what is the point of all this? Well, I personally believe that there's nothing in the Bible by accident. Okay, there's no filler words. And Tim's done a great job of taking a look at that. And 2 weeks ago, very specifically, he dug down on what it means, why this is here. Specifically, he looked at the section in Matthew where it talks about, and I got just one verse of it here in Matthew 1:1, says this is the family history of Jesus, the Messiah. He came from the family of David, who was from the family of Abraham. And that goes on for several more verses, showing us Jesus' genealogy, leading back through David and finally to Abraham. And he stops at Abraham. And then in the book of Luke takes it a step farther. And he takes it all the way back to Adam in the beginning. If you look here in Luke chapter 3, I've just got the first verse and the last verse of it here. But it says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. And the verses go on in between talking about listing the complete genealogy, and it gets down to Adam, the son of God. And it's like, guys, why are those there? What are we doing at? What is the point of this? Well, guys, I want to talk about today that I believe that God's list, as we've been talking about, of these genealogies, shows us, reveals to us, God's gift list for each one of us. Has everybody got their list done? Is everybody finished with their gift list so far? No? No? Well, guys, God is kind of like some of us old men, okay? You've heard the stories many, many times where either the mother, grandmother was the one who's in charge of all the gifts. That's kind of how it works in our family. And either she passes on or just the dad decides to start doing stuff. And what's the dad do? What's the grandpa do? He writes checks, right? It's the same gift for everybody. He just writes checks. And everybody seems to like that. Okay, they go get what they want. You know, us old men tend to be kind of generous at this stage of our lives. And we do that. Well, guys, I want to talk to you today about the fact that it's the same thing. God's got a gift list, and you're on it. And God's kind of like these old men that I've told you about that I'm getting to be one of, where he's got the same gift for every one of us. Okay? He's got the same gift. He's got one thing on his list. Now, some of you may be thinking, yes, it's the gift of Jesus. It's the gift of his death, his forgiveness. I want to propose a different idea to you today. No. That's very important. Don't get me wrong. Okay? Jesus' life and sacrifice and resurrection is a gift. But it's not the gift that God had on his list and that his genealogies point us towards. All right? That is the cost, or the price, of the gift that he has for us. And that gift, God has one thing on his gift list for me, and that's a relationship. You want to know if you're one of those people that get a check this year from some older person in your family, and you think that's what everybody gets, I want that to trigger for you that God's given everybody the same thing, and that's a relationship with Him. What are you talking about, Gary? Why are you talking about relationship? You see, guys, because the first thing I want to talk about today is that God has a design and a purpose for my life. These genealogies, specifically the one in Luke, go all the way back to the beginning. Go the beginning of the Bible when God created Adam and Eve. And as one of my favorite biblical scholars, Dr. Tim Mackey, he's the Bible scholar behind the Bible Project on YouTube, if you're familiar with that. He finds that Jesus, a lot of the times in his teachings, would point people back to what he says are the first three pages of the Bible. And I believe that's what's going on here. He's pointing back, these genealogies point back to the beginning of the Bible. And we need to go back there and see, what is this all about? You see, God designed us for a purpose. And I believe there's great significance in this. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. This is what it says. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Guys, some churches, denominations refer to this as the creation ordinance. Okay? And I'd refer to it as this is where we find the design and the purpose of humans, of why God created us. How He designed us. He designed us to be imagers of Him. And as I say many times, this being an image of God is not so much a qualitative state, meaning you're born just like God. You're born the way He wants you. That's the way it's misunderstood sometimes. But it's better understood that we were made to be imagers of God. That we were made to image Him. Or represent Him, or reflect His character and His qualities in creation. See, science tries to tell us how we exist, how things happen. They try, okay? God wants us to know why we exist. And this is what this He tells us just in the beginning. You see, guys, you look at the world around you. How many of you can look at the world and say, "What's wrong with the world around you?" Anybody got some complaints? You have some complaints. Every one of those complaints can go back to humans, and sometimes very specific humans, not fulfilling this purpose. They're not representing God to the world. They're representing their own thoughts and their own desires to the world. This is why evil exists. This is why selfishness exists. Because in Genesis chapter 3, after God created Adam and Eve, they decided to go their own way. That's basically what happens. So God, we don't want to represent You, or we want to live the way we want. And that's what's going on. You see, guys, if I'm going to fulfill my purpose, it requires a relationship with God. Okay? God didn't just put humans here and say, "Figure it out." He gave us Himself, a relationship with Him to know Him. And that's what Adam and Eve turned their back on. That's what Adam and Eve turned us as a people away from. And we've been trying to get that back ever since. You see, guys, the second thing we want to talk about is fulfilling my purpose requires a relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned, had eaten the fruit He told them not to, this is what you hear. It says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' Now, I don't know about you guys, but I wonder, what is this going on? Is God coming looking for man? Why is God showing up? Does he know what's happened and he's here to thump him on the head? Or is this a normal practice for God? And guys, I want to offer to you, this was just a normal practice. God didn't throw Adam and Eve out there and say, figure it out. Figure out what I'm like. Figure out how you're supposed to represent me. He spent time with them. He came to the garden and he spent time with them so that they could know him. So that they could represent him accurately. God offered and gave them a relationship with him. You see, guys, what's going on in Genesis chapters 1 to 3 is you see God creating humans with a design and a purpose, and you see man rejecting that. And what is lost as a result of that is this close, intimate relationship with God, with the Creator. You see, guys, this is a big deal. Not knowing God is a big deal. If you are going to be an imager of God, if you have decided to follow Jesus, who is the only true imager of God, and that's what being a Christian means, is that you decide you want to follow him, you want to be like him, you've got to know what he is like. And that requires a relationship. You see, guys, I hate this when somebody tells me, I don't want to live my life. They're rejecting Christianity, they're stopping following Jesus, and they say, I don't want to live my life to follow a bunch of rules. And I tell them, anybody that tells me that, I'm going to tell you the same thing. God does not expect you to follow rules. He expects you to reflect his character. Rules were given to us to know what his character is like. When you specifically were given to people who did not have the opportunity to know him, who did not have all this recorded about him. He is more interested in you having a relationship with him than he is in you having a set of rules and checking them off. Yes, I did this. No, I didn't do that. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us that at the end of time, at judgment, there's going to people come before him and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we did all these good things in your name. We did them for you. And he's going to say, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. That is the thing. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a woman, and he's asking her for water, and she's questioning why, and he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. What's he saying? You don't know me. You don't know me. Guys, I want to offer to you right here today, God's gift for every one of us is to know him intimately, is to know him completely, is to have his ear. And that's on the table. That's on the table. You see, guys, Adam and Eve turned their back on that. And what's the significance of these genealogies pointing all the way back to the beginning? Look at this verse in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious thrones, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What is this renewal of all things? What is this? You know, in Acts chapter 3, it puts it a different way, where it talks about heaven must receive him, talking about Jesus, until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. You see, guys, in Genesis chapter 3, back in the garden, Adam and Eve turned their back on this. And God said, yeah, I'm going to let you do that. But I'm not going to let it rest. I want things back the way they were with Adam and Eve in the garden for all of humanity. Guys, God's saying, I'm wanting to restore it. I don't have time to look at it right now. But if you go back, you just go read the last two chapters of Revelation. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And God residing with man. There's no need for a temple because God is here with us all the time. God wants relationship with you. He's not just interested in your rule, following the rules and doing what you want. He wants relationship. That's what he's doing. You see, guys, remember the passage we just looked at back in Genesis chapter 3, where it talks about God coming down to talk to Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening? Okay? Did you know you have access to God like that right now? If you decide to follow Jesus, you have access. He wants to be known. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 3. He says his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Years ago, there was a preacher, a younger preacher, and he was going to a big church, one of these mega churches. He'd been hired, and he was the kind of guy, he was kind of the new kind of a guy, and he did not wear suit and tie, okay? And this church that he was at, the preacher always wore a suit and tie. And there was one elder, he'd been warned about him, who's going to question him about this. And he thought about it, and the elder came to him finally, and he asked him his question. He said, "Well, I don't own a suit." And the elder says, "Well, don't you think if you're going to see the President of the United States, wouldn't you put on your best set of clothes to see the President of the United States?" And the young preacher, I loved his answer. He says, "Yeah. Yeah, I would, but not if he's my father." Okay, you don't get dressed up to see your father. You just go in and talk to your father. Guys, that's the relationship that God offers every one of us. That's it. That's on God's Christmas list for you this Christmas and next June also. That is what it's about. The last thing I want to talk about, guys, with about God's gift list today is that I choose daily what I'm going to do with God's list, with God's gift. I choose daily what I'm going to do with God's gift. You see, the truth of the matter is, if we were to ask, what do you want to be on God's gift list for you, you might have something different than relationship with Him. Okay, I was speaking with Oliver. Wave at me, Oliver. I'm going to talk about you. How old are you, Oliver? He's 11 years old. I guarantee you, I asked him what he wanted for Christmas just a little bit ago. And I would bet good money that there's no kid in this room that asked for the same thing he did. I'd like to offer $100 if any kid knows, but I'm afraid some kid knows. He asked for a new coon dog. Yeah, anybody else got that on their list? Christy. Lynn says she can find you one. And cheap. Nobody else wants it. Guys, we all got what we want ourselves, individualized. And some of us, let's get real. Relationship with God isn't on our list. If we were to ask God for one thing today and he's going to give it to you, it wouldn't be relationship. It might be a new job. It might be a different job. It might be more money or just less bills. You name it. It may be a relationship with a human being. It may be children. It may be better behaved children. I know children is not on Matt and Brian's list. If you don't know, they were just the proud parents of twins, and that makes six for them. That is correct. Psalms 37 tells us that is a good thing, and don't you guys ever forget it. But guys, look at this. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he describes the challenge of what I'm going to do with God's gift on a daily basis. He says, this is what it is. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Now guys, there at the end, he gets into the stuff we consider the bad stuff, but I really want you to focus on. Right in the middle of there, he says, they do not live the rest of their lives for evil human desires, but rather the will of God. You see, God can tell you God's will for your life. God's will for your life is that you represent Him in whatever circumstance you find yourself. He is far more concerned with your character than He is your circumstances. And He wants you to represent Him, to show people, to reflect His likeness into a dark world. And anything that I desire that's not involved in that, that doesn't involve that, is evil. That's what he's saying. And guys, my whole point is, I gotta choose what I want to do with it. It goes on in James chapter 4. It says something very similar. It says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says that without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? You see, folks, God's got relationship with him on your gift list this year as the only item because he longs for you to fulfill your design and purpose of representing him in creation. That's it. And as it says, his Spirit longs jealously for us. And we have to decide what we're going to do. Because let's get real, guys. I have to choose the will of God in my life. It don't just show up and go, yes, sir, I like it. Okay? It doesn't. I have desires of my own. I want to write my own script. I want to write my own story. I want to tell you how things are going to do. I want to choose how I am going to be like Jesus and when and how he's going to use it. Not just give him my life and say, do what you want. Do what you want. You see, guys, I have a grandson. I don't know if most of you knew that. I have a grandson. His name's Elijah. He turned one on Thanksgiving Day. He's not here today, or I would have him up here with me right now. But there's some things I do with Elijah as his grandfather. One, and I don't know how I started this. I believe his mother was who I heard say this first. But she started calling him Bub. Bub. Hey, Bub. And I picked up on it. I liked it. I'm the only one that does it now. And if he was in the room right now and I said, hey, Bub, he would look around for me. And I do that on purpose. I love doing it. Watch him go, where are you at? I hear your voice. Okay, now that doesn't last long. He doesn't come running to me. He can't walk yet. So, he doesn't come crawling to me. Sometimes he might reach his arms out, but I get his attention. Another thing I do is I chatter my teeth. I can go. I don't know why I ever learned to do that, but I did. And I enjoy doing it. And when I do it, he looks at me like, what are you doing? You know, I'm sure once he gets teeth, I'm going to teach him how to do it. But right now I can do it like I'm holding him and something else has his attention and I can go. And he jerks that head, it looks at me, or if he's on the ground playing with other kids, and I can, and he'll look up at me. Again, it don't last. If I'm holding him, he might interact with me. He might reach out and grab my lip, like, well, what are you doing there? Or it's get me to do it again. Now I picked up another thing. There's third thing I do with him. that gets his attention and that he loves him. And I don't know how to do, I don't know how, what this is called that I do. So I'm just going to have to do it, okay? Gets his attention every time that he's in the stroller. He'll hear him go, and he's imitating it. And he's taken now in the last couple of weeks where if I'm holding him, he'll take that little finger, he'll grab my lip, and I'll go, beep, beep, and then he'll laugh. Guys, what's my point about all that? I do all that because he's my grandson and I want relationship with him. And someday, because of this relationship, I'm going to speak about much greater things into his life. That's what I want. But guys, I want to tell you right now, just the same way I want Elijah's attention, God wants your attention. Okay, because right now, some of us today, maybe even through this lesson, God's saying, hey, bub, and he wants you to look at him. Maybe you don't know who he is. Maybe you don't have a relationship with him right now. And I'm here to tell you he wants to have a relationship with you. And if you don't know how to achieve that, you don't know what to do about it, fill out that card that's in the bulletin and we'll make sure somebody gets in touch with you and helps you with that. He's asking you to acknowledge him. He may be chattering his teeth at you saying, I want your attention. I know you're mine. I know I have a relationship with you, but you're not paying attention to me. Okay? Or he may be going, and he wants you to interact with him. He doesn't want just your attention. You see, guys, as I close this out today, I want you to think about what are you doing with your relationship with him? What are you doing with your relationship with the Creator? Okay? And I got four possible considerations here. One is that you are rejecting it. It may be that you've never had a relationship with God, or you've had the opportunity to pursue a relationship with God, and you said, no, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm here to tell you, he's chattering his teeth at you. He wants your attention. He wants you to pursue a relationship with him. Number two, you may have accepted a relationship with God, claim to be a Christian, but you have not unwrapped the gift of relationship. It's just sitting in your room. Yes, free gift of salvation from Jesus. It's right there. But you haven't pursued a relationship. You just accepted the present. A third response is that you've accepted it. You've opened the present up. But you're not doing anything with it. Okay, maybe you've grown bored with it. Maybe you feel like, you know, back to my grandson, there's certain things he loves to play with right now. He literally, back in October, he started playing with rocks. If you want to give him something to do, you take him out in his landscape, throw a handful of rocks out on the asphalt in front of him, and he will play for 20 minutes. I don't think he's going to do that when he's 5. Or when he's 10, or when he's 20, he will lose. As a result of this, we bought him certain kind of blocks. My daughter bought him blocks for his birthday. And our niece brought him some big Legos for his birthday. And he loves to get in them and just throw them around. He's not building anything with them. Okay, he's not using them for their purpose. And guys, sometimes we do that with our relationship with God. We use it for just fun. But there's no purpose to it. Now when he's 20 years old, I don't think he's going to do either of those things. You see, guys, we do that with our relationship with God. Sometimes we think we've outgrown it. It's good, or we got a foundation, and now let's just live the rest of our lives for our own evil desires. Like Peter was warning us about. It may be that we're distracted. Jesus talked about this in not multiple parables. He told the same parable 3 times. Excuse me. Called the parable of soils, but he talked about this being thorny soil where we're distracted by the worries of this life and the desires for other things, and it chokes out the word of God and our relationship with him. It may be that we don't understand the purpose that God created us for, or we don't like the purpose. You see, guy, the truth of the matter is I'm critical of a lot of modern day Christianity. It's what I call it's a legalistic rules-based religion. Okay? And the truth of the matter is some of us like legalism. Rules give us comfort. Rules tell us what we want. But the truth of the matter is, guys, it's not a good way to exist. The fourth guy's response that you could be having this morning with God's gift of relationship is to accept it. And you embrace it. And you're taking full advantage of it to fulfill your purpose in this world. Guys, let me encourage you as I close this out this morning. Let me encourage you to identify which one of those four responses you have. Right now. You might want to write it down on that communication card and ask for prayers. That's not a requirement. It's an opportunity. Okay? I believe there's great benefit in having people pray for you. It says so in the Bible. But let me encourage you to identify it. Maybe you fill out the card, maybe you don't. But I at least want to ask you to think about it right now. Which one of those four categories do you fall in? Which one of those four responses are you having with God's gift of relationship? Let the Holy Spirit tell you which one you have right now. And maybe this Christmas, as you're unwrapping presents, or you're watching people unwrap presents, you're realizing that God has given you a relationship or an opportunity to have a relationship. And you make a decision that you want to unwrap that gift, or you want to take it off the shelf, or you want to pursue it in greater measure than what you are right now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and we'll be done today. All righty? Father, thank you so much that we have this time of year just to remember, to focus in on. And Father, I thank you for Tim's idea of this lesson series. Father, just to look at it in a different way, to dig down deeper. There's nothing in your word that is filler. And Father, you have those genealogies for a reason. Father, I tried to keep this short, but I really wanted to talk about how your word from beginning to end is so coherent, is so cohesive. Father, how it all goes together from beginning to end, and your plan is so clear when we look at it that way. And Father, I thank you for that. Father, I want to pray right now that you can touch our hearts. It's Christmas, and it's busy, and it's chaotic. And Father, I just ask that you touch every heart here today. Father, I pray your spirit right now is touching mine to which response they're having to this gift you've given us of a relationship with you. Father, help us to take advantage of that. And it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name is the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven now. My sin was great, your love was great. Wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the blow of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is.